Brooklyn, Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
The Radio Free Brooklyn.
Would be untrue.
What is Love Radio Show?
You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Time to hesitate is through. That's no time to wallow in the mire. If I was to say to you that our love becomes a funeral pyre, come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yay, we are on air. This is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And this is me, your favorite, Sasha Sugar. As always, I couldn't start my show without some technical issues. But we are live now and it's amazing. And I hope you all enjoyed your Sunday brunches and lunches, because I and my guest, who I will introduce in a second, we have enjoyed our lunch and we've indulged in a lot of kind of healthy sweets, maybe not really, but kind of healthy sweets. And I thought it would be a nice introduction of the topic of spiritual awakening, which will break the stereotype that spiritual people are banned from any earthly pleasures of the world. Now, spiritual people also can have sweets, and they love food, and they love other amazing things, an earthly life that y'all enjoying. So if you are about to get on the spiritual path, don't think that you'll have to ban yourself from all indulgences and you'll have to ban yourself from all the pleasures of this world. That's not true. Some of them may be yes, but that's not true. So don't let food to be on the way of your spiritual awakening. That was the lesson of my introductory speech. And I am extremely excited to introduce my guest today, June. Hey!
Hi!
Yes, you're on air. So, June, she's been my savior and angel and, in a way, spiritual guru and a friend in the last, I would say, half a year. She has been a critical part to my difficult journey of awakening, and I'm forever grateful to her, and I thought that I'm trying to move away from the topics of romantic love towards topics of love in general. I thought that having you sharing her personal story of spiritual awakening at the beginning of this series of different personal stories would be a great start. On top of that, it's June's birthday this week, and we are celebrating her birthday, all her friends, and I thought that would be a great gift. So much, and I just want her to share her amazing and powerful story to you all so that some of you could probably get something interesting and useful and valuable. Anyway, so here's you, and before we start, I'll just play a little track to make sure our mics are working. And you, if you have any questions later, please call us at 718-928-9732. One more time, this is What is Love Show. Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and today's topic is Breathe Through the Pain, Personal Journey of Spiritual Awakening.
Do you want to know what enlightenment is? Moment. It's a back and forth, letting go of your attachment to yourself, to outcomes, letting go to the way things are. Let go of right or wrong, it would get deeper and deeper.
Love Show is back on air. This is Sasha Sugar with Juin here in the studio. I hope you guys have let go all of your leftovers from the brunt, whatever that was, and are ready to indulge some of this spiritual awakening that June will share. So, hey June.
Hi Sasha. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm just really grateful for not only being here, but for your friendship. So everything that you said, all your beautiful words, thank you, and right back at you.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm totally in love with June, although she is kind of a partnership with another human being.
But, hey, love is infinite. There's a lot to go around.
Right, and that's the perfect place to talk about love on the What is Love show. So June, let's talk about your, you've been, I've heard your story many times, and I'd really love you to share it with others who might find it really beautiful and useful. Maybe we should start with the time when you first, how did you come to the idea of needing to get on the path of spiritual awakening?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this the other day, and I realized that the story kind of goes back a little bit, and it goes further into my past. And I think it does for most people. You know, there has to be a beginning at some point. And for me, it came rather young. I remember when I was a little girl that I always believed that there was something else out there. I don't know how to explain that other than I felt like a connection to a higher source, and I would talk to this source all the time. And whether that was, you know, part of my nurturing, you know, perhaps my grandmother implanted seeds, you know, with her sort of faith and her religion. But my parents were definitely not religious people. But I just remember talking to God a lot when I was a little kid. And I remember thinking that God was like best friends with Santa Claus. And I remember one year being like, you know, God, I know you and Santa are like, you know, good friends, like just put in a good word, you know, just for me for this year. Like I've been good, you know that. But so, yeah, so it started out with this notion of knowing that there was something outside of me. And I was always very sensitive as a child. I felt like I was always deep feeling, and it kind of went into the realm of like the otherworldly. And I know that might sound weird, and to some people it might sound strange, but I always felt like I could feel spirits and people that have passed on. And I was always sensitive to that. And I've always had some interesting dreams and out-of-body experiences in my dreams and different things that have happened to me. And so I was always interested because I knew that there was something else out there. And when I was a kid, I would check out books from the library, and that interest manifested in things like the occult, because I didn't know how to like direct that interest. So it went from everything to the occult, you know, to psychics, to religion. And so I was kind of devouring everything because I just was very curious, but I didn't know where to send that attention to.
So while your friends were playing with Barbie dolls and the
other, I still played with Barbie.
Theology and philosophy and religion.
I was still playing with Barbie, but yeah, like I was just very interested. And then high school came, and I remember I befriended someone who later became my really good friend during that time, one of my best friends. And she was part of a meditation circle at 16. And this woman would do meditation sittings in her house. And she would just do it by donation. It was donation based. And she did it first with adults. And then these adults had children, you know, and my friend was one of those children. And so she hosted adolescence meditation circles. And so, and in high school, I started going once a week to these meditation circles. And, you know, at the time, they were really out there. We would, you know, do visualizations, and then we would sit underneath pyramid structures as we meditated. And it was something very new to me, but it kind of opened up this whole other world. And I realized that to be spiritual, to be connected to source, you didn't have to necessarily go through the path of religion.
Let me just pose you for a second. So you were going to an adolescent meditation group? Was it a thing? I mean, you're not old by any means, but it was what, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Oh, I wish. It was like 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like 20 years ago. It wasn't really a thing, but it was just this woman who just out of the goodness of her heart wanted to share some of the things that she was kind of experiencing and feeling, and she wanted to share her spiritual lessons through the gift of meditation that her teacher had brought her. And she was very well off. Like, she had a husband, you know, she didn't work. Like, she was just doing this for her own, you know, service.
But it's amazing that she realized that she needed to start with younger crowd rather than trying to convert adults.
Right. She did both. Yeah.
Luggage.
Yeah.
She actually tried to make sure that the young souls internalize the practice of meditation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wish I knew about it when I was a teen.
I think it's coming more and more into the forefront of our culture now, which I think is great. They're introducing, you know, meditation in schools and whatnot. But
you said something really interesting earlier, that you knew, even when you were a child, you knew that there was something out there. You knew there was a God, which is quite a bold statement. I feel like people nowadays, even when they're they didn't know whether or not God exists, but you knew when you were a child.
Yeah, and
was it just your sensation, or is it something that your grandma talked to you about?
So yeah, I think it's both, right? It's hard to say, right? Because someone could say, oh, well, maybe it was your grandmother's influence because she was so heavily religious that she had planted the seeds. But at the same time, I don't think those seeds would have come to fruition if I hadn't personally experienced it. And it's something on the level of intuition that unfortunately can't be quantifiable, you know, at least, you know, for me. But it's just more of a sensation and a feeling in the body and in the heart and in the spirit. I know it's a very bold statement, but when I was very young, I felt it. It's undeniable for me, I guess.
Okay, so basically you've been exposed to some sort of spirituality since you were a child.
Yeah, I was.
And has it been a gradual journey, or?
So I felt like I was always seeking. And so to kind of go back to my high school experience, I I'm going to open up here, and I don't mind because it's part of my story and it kind of brings me to where I'm at. But, you know, I grew up with a lot of struggle as a child and as an adolescent, because my father was an alcoholic, and you and I have had, you know, these many discussions about this. And so there was a lot of violence and pain and suffering on all levels with everyone involved. And as a result of that, kind of going through that as a child and as an adolescent, I think it's helped shape me in the sense that it facilitated my seeking, because I had to say to myself, there has to be a reason for this. Like, there has to be more to this, and there has to be somebody who can hopefully hear me out there. And in my adolescence, my faith was tried. Like, I wasn't quite sure if God heard me, because why would this happen to me if there was a God out there? And so I just remember through tears, you know, there was this bronzed cross that I held on to in my room. And in moments of like deep pain, when my dad was kind of going through an episode and there was just sort of chaos in the home, I would shut the door and I would squeeze this cross. And I remember crying on my knees and just saying, please, God, please, like, show me the way, you know, like, help me find you and help me, like, be released from the situation. Help my father. Please let there be some kind of healing happening now. And also, why? Please show me, you know. And I think it was like maybe my sophomore year that I found myself in my parents' bathroom, like on my knees. And, you know, my dad was passed out. And I just remember crying and like staring at the tile on the floor and praying to God. And I said, okay, God, if it takes me going to church to kind of find some sort of salvation here in making this stop, in finding some kind of answer to why this is happening, then I'll go, because I felt like I needed something to hold on to. And it was, even though I had that faith and understanding that there was something out there as a child, like, it wasn't molded. It wasn't guided in any way. And I just needed answers. And I wanted to believe that there was someone else out there that was loving and an omnipotent presence, that there was a reason for suffering. And so I found myself going to this church.
Was it a Christian church?
It was a Christian church. And I'm not Christian. And, you know, I've kind of shied away from religion because I found that it doesn't work for me. But in that moment and in that time, that's all I knew culturally. Like, that's what I was surrounded with as far as like spirituality was concerned. And so I kind of gravitated towards that, and I threw myself into the church because I wanted to find answers. And so, you know, I read the Bible and I would go to these Bible studies, and it...
We are the Bushwick Hotel, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
All right, thanks for the reminder that we are on Radio Free Brooklyn. In case you guys have forgotten what you are doing right now, this is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
All right, let's keep going.
Okay, so so basically, that kind of brought me to like college, where I was still going to church and I was going to these Bible studies, but I found myself still not satisfied with the answers that I was getting. I was sort of like that troublemaker in the classroom, constantly asking questions and like going back and saying, you know, that this doesn't make sense when here it says this and over here it says that. And so I eventually found myself like a round peg trying to fit into a square hole, and it didn't work for me. And while it may work for some, it just wasn't for me. And so I stepped away from that, and I just kept seeking. And fast forward, long story short, I was always on that process, but I never really found the thing that like opened me up and found me, you know, on my path. And it happened for me, this breaking open moment, you know, which you know about, but, you know, I'll share here, is I was married before, and I was married with someone whom I was with for 9 years. And I considered my soulmate in the sense that we were destined to be together. And the reason why I say that is because through what had happened, it brought us closer to who we were supposed to be authentically at the core. And so I was with him. We got married. Shortly after getting married, he he was diagnosed with stage 4 gastric cancer. And it happened very quickly. I remember, you know, he was suffering from some gastrointestinal issues, and we went to the doctor, and the first doctor missed it completely and just gave him some antibiotics, and months went by and he still wasn't getting better. And finally I was like, you know, we should see a second specialist. Doesn't seem right. And he, you know, he was self-medicating too with like Pepto-Bismol and antacids, thinking it was just, you know, heartburn or something. And the second specialist, he knew immediately after seeing him and immediately called for colonoscopy and immediately called for an endoscopy and, you know, sent it out to be checked for cancer. And like within 24 hours, he called me, I remember at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I thought this was really bizarre. Why would a doctor call you so early? And he called us in. And when we got there, he pulled me aside and he's, well, my husband at that time went to the bathroom and he was like, Joan, I need to tell you something and I need you to be strong for Mao. You know, his name was Mauricio or Mao. And I was like, okay. And he was like, okay, listen, he has, you know, stage 4 cancer. It's gastric and it's very serious and I need you to be strong. And I just remember as he started talking, like the room started spinning and like I just felt like his lips were moving, but I couldn't understand him. And the next thing you know, Mao comes into the room and just kind of like, all right, well, why are we here? You know, let's get this going. And he tells him and there's silence and there was just an okay that came out of his mouth. And we just were hugging and crying and he left us for a minute. And yeah, it was just kind of like a bomb had gone off in our life and everything was suddenly moving in slow motion and nothing made sense. And what we ended up doing was we ended up throwing ourselves into the path of healing. So we searched and seeked high and low, both alternative and traditional, conservative or typical forms of treatment. And it was in that journey that I started to break open a little bit, but it wasn't really until after he passed that it came fully into fruition.
I'm just so overwhelmed, although I did hear this story several times, but I just feel that the audience on the other side might be going like, oh fuck, wait, hold on a second, what happened there? So you before we get to your journey after your husband passed away, you didn't get the response from the God in the case of your father.
Yeah, no, I didn't. And that's what kind of made me leave the church, is because I felt like I wasn't hearing him. I felt like I wasn't feeling him. I felt like, and I say him, but I really mean like the universe. God. Yeah. I hesitate to use the word God because there's connotations usually with the word God that are negative, and it's like this old bearded white man, you know, on top of a mountain somewhere, like high above the clouds. But I like to actually use the word universe. It just seems more encompassing and it seems a little less restrictive in what you would imagine God
right.
to be. Yeah.
Or when we say God, a lot of people just think instantly about Jesus Christ.
Right, the Christian God, which right. that's not what I mean. I mean source, I mean universe, I mean spirit.
So then when this thing happened with your husband and you said you start exploring alternative practices, you didn't go back to church.
No, I didn't. I was at that time before he even got diagnosed, I was reading books because I was also personally suffering from feeling empty, feeling like there was really no point to this life. Like I couldn't really understand it. I was not satisfied in my job. I had worked at that point, I think maybe 7 years, 8 years in the fashion industry as a designer. And while, you know, for some people it might be their calling, it wasn't mine. And I was just so miserable. I'd wake up in the morning banging my head against the, you know, the tile in the bathroom in the shower, just feeling the water all over me and just being like, I don't want to go into work. Like there's no point, you know, to this. I'm just perpetuating, you know, like child labor and like I'm not happy. And I did that for a long time because I didn't know what else to do. And I just kept asking to be shown. And so I picked up all these spiritual books because I felt like I was spiritually constipated and that was part of the problem. I felt like a kinked up hose that was just swelling and swelling and nothing was being released, but I just felt like I knew there was something deep inside of me that needed to be released, that wasn't free, that was moving against the river of life rather than with it.
I am very sure that while you're saying this, a lot of people out there thinking that, oh shit, that's kind of what's happening in my life right now. And I'm doing this job and I don't, which is not my calling. And I keep trying to fill up the void with whatever it might be, food, Netflix, meaningless small chats, even jobs. They never get to the point where they actually start making significant changes, what you have done. Were there any books at that stage of your life that got you seriously on the path of spiritual awakening so that you could share maybe with those out there who might need that extra push?
Yeah, A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle was a huge one that changed me. And I think that was one of the books that I had given you. Not
I haven't
too long.
Started yet.
It's okay. Yeah. No, no, but
trying to get a hold of Bible.
No, that really shifted my perspective and my understanding of that we are these spiritual beings on a human journey, and bringing broader understanding of how we all have these egos. And by ego, I don't mean like being pompous or anything like that, but I mean that there are these lower selves and that there is a higher self. Yeah. And so it goes into that. And that was a game changer for me.
Hi, guys. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you feel the void deep down in your gut, feet, brain, heart, anywhere in your body, read the book A New Life.
A New Awakening. Yeah. A New Earth, sorry.
A New Earth.
A New Earth, yeah.
Your Earth. If you're on this journey to change your life and transform yourself, get that book and it will change your life.
Yeah, I would say that the first two chapters are maybe really dense and kind of out there, but like just be patient and stay with it and it'll start to make more sense as you get into it. So
let's get back to your story.
Yeah, so it was around that time. So that kind of all started to, I would say that the brick was being laid one by one for the foundation of that breaking open moment. And the part of like suffering through not knowing what I was meant to do and feeling so not happy and just not gratified and just feeling out of sync with myself was part of the journey. Because once my husband got sick, I quit my job. And fortunately, we were in a position where, you know, his job and his situation with, you know, being able to go off of disability was enough for us to then take pause and say, how are we going to figure this out? And so I quit my job and to take care of him full time. And that was for about a year and a half. And we did everything under the sun. You know, we traveled during that time when he could still travel. I took him to different like spiritual healers. But of course, you know, we did the chemotherapy. You know, we saw the traditional doctors, but I also took him to acupuncture, to Reiki healers, to energy healers, fed him books. And he was an atheist or agnostic, I would say, before. And it was through this process that I believe that, you know, he found his own awakening and his own path. And my personal belief is that we all come into our bodies. And before we do that, we make these pacts with people, these cosmic pacts, like people that are your soulmates. I think of soulmates not in the traditional sense of like in the movies, but these people that you're destined to meet that will transform, you know, your life and the path that you're going. And so I believe he and I came together prior to coming into our bodies on this earth and said, you know, we're going to meet, we're going to intersect at this point in our lives, and we're going to help each other out. I'm going to help you get on your spiritual path. You're going to help me get on mine. And I'm just going to leave a little bit sooner than you. But that's how it's supposed to go. And we made that promise to each other. And so that's what I believe.
When you tell me the truth, you didn't feel that way right when it was happening.
When it was happening, no. Yeah. It came... It came actually maybe even during and after, because I believed in my heart of hearts that we were meant to come together. And by seeing what was happening in the process and definitely after the fact, I knew without a doubt that this was cosmic, that this was beyond, you know, our control, and that it was also meant to be. It was beyond our control in the sense that, you know, there was nothing that we could do in our earthly bodies to change this course, because we had made that pact, that promise to each other before coming. Because what had happened was he became this like living Buddha. I don't know how to explain it.
this is so, to me, this is so empowering, because I feel that and most of the times when you are in this dark place and going through this dark situation, almost a tragic situation that you were at the time, it's so, so difficult to be able to reflect and accept the situation in that spiritual manner.
Yeah.
Usually people just dwell on it and blame the God, the universe.
Yeah.
Other things, feel pity for themselves, but it's really, really hard to keep going and keep the strengths.
Yeah, you know, there. I remember on the one hand, I remember thinking there was a choice. You know, I could choose to reframe this for myself and believe what I believed in my heart, that there was a purpose and a reason for this, which I wasn't just rationalizing just to kind of, you know,
feel better
about what had happened, but I deeply believe, because I saw the transformation in myself, because I saw, you know, death is one of the greatest teachers, right? And that isn't to say that once you learn the lesson, you're a perfect being and then everything's great. But in fact, I'm learning again and again and again. But it's definitely a wake-up call, and it's one of the greatest teachers in this life and in this world. And that's what it did for me. And so, yeah, it was... It was obviously very difficult, but in the end, I was able to see like what it was.
I just want to go on a quick music break.
Sure.
It's been a bit heavy. but speaking of death, there's also this book, Unfettered Soul, which you haven't finished.
Yeah, Michael Singer's The Untethered Soul. Yeah,
I read it when I was in Peru on my retreat, on my spiritual awakening, which is still happening. Didn't happen.
It's all still happening for all of us, right?
But there was a great quote in that book about that, how death should be and is your best friend, because when you think, because death is what keeps you alive. Knowing that there is death, just if you fully feel and understand that death is inevitable, it's gonna come, but every day that it doesn't come, it's a gift, it's a celebration. Yeah. And you should be really gonna be thankful to death that it gives you another day and another day and another day. I know it's a bit philosophical and too optimistic, but if you think that way, like every day you wake up and death is not there, it's like, oh cool, thank you. Thanks,
yeah,
Des.
Yeah.
Thanks to be my friend and give me another day.
Right.
All right, it's getting too dark. Let's just go on a quick music break, and then we'll go back to June's story about her spiritual awakening. There's much more to come, and this is Radio for Brooklyn. I could walk at
shaped us. I could walk at you. It's just inevitable instance. Twisted bitterness, I give her too much. She'll be
overthought.
Well, I will ring you up, say I want you. I can stop, say I never wanted that. It's just inevitable instance. Twisted bitterness, I give her too much. She'll be too far to take it. You can have it all. If you look insane, it's gonna drive you back down the roads and the streets and the pavement. Stamping your ground on the roof, star shaped heart.
Like a wiggle, you're shaped heart. Star shaped heart.
Hello, hello, hello. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And today I have a beautiful, powerful woman who is so happy, but she's also my friend. And Joanne, and she's sharing her personal story of spiritual awakening, which has been an ongoing journey, started a long time ago. And we stopped on the point when Joanne's husband, former husband, was diagnosed with lethal stage of cancer, and how it was one of the most important powerful moments in her life to get out of her former habitual life and to continue her journey towards beyond, towards the spiritual awakening. All right. So then you've been traveling to different healers and trying alternative practices, and I assume nothing was helping.
It started to help, but it was more the transformation in him that I started to see. And slowly he became more open, you know, to spirituality and the notion that there was something bigger than us. And it was through actually the love, the outpouring of love of friends and family that we found ourselves surrounded him. And it just brought us to our knees in gratitude, because that was universe manifesting itself in real people, where all of our friends rallied around us and they were there for us and they visited us constantly. They showed up with food and gifts and they thought, what can we do to help? There was even these moments where they knew that Mao's like favorite team was the Patriots and the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And through our network of friends, they managed to get Tom Brady, like,
oh my God,
yeah, give a personal video message. And Robert Kraft called him on the phone and, like, you know, just chatted with him. And Robert Kraft had lost his wife too to cancer, and so there was that, you know, special moment of understanding. And we talked to so many different people that meant something to Mao's, like, you know, personal life. And so it was through that also started to create this ripple effect through not just him and not just through me, but everybody around us started to feel something going on, you know, that life is so precious and it's so short, and that you just never really know. And what ends up falling away, you know, what ends up burning in the fire of pain is, you know, your job, your status, your labels, and what you're just left with is ultimately love. And the connections of people that you meet along this journey. And that's all you have. You know, your job's not going to hold you on your deathbed holding your hand.
I think we need to hold on to this moment and actually think about it. Guys, everyone who is listening to the show, just take a deep breath and ponder over what June just said. So your jobs, your things, your money, your expectations, your Instagram pics, your Facebook likes, your emails. It's nothing. Unless you have this loving, meaningful relationship with the people you meet along the way.
Yeah.
And it was, it's actually, I went to the church today, the Christian mm-hmm. church. I know we have some differences about the Christianity.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's, you know, you do you.
The pastor, he shared the story that his friend who is working in a very busy entertainment industry, no matter how crazy his graphic gets during the day, how many meetings he has to go to, every time he see, when he sees an handicapped person on the street, he stops and gives a prayer to God about the person. So he is he's been present in that moment, and he tries to create this meaningful, meaningful, significant moment with the God and the person whom I need that prayer, but he's not doing that himself.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
So I just, yeah, I just remembered of that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So.
So
that was happening in your family and.
Mm-hmm. And with our friends. And so what I've said before is, you know, while this is not a gift that I would ever want to give anyone, I felt like what Mao kind of gave me through his death was life, you know, it through his passing, I was able to become liberated in some way of the things that I thought were so important, but no longer were. And it was through that death that I became free in a sense. And it's a constant working, you know, it's not like, oh, once you hit this place, that's it. But, you know, and I've fallen backwards. It's like 3 steps back, you know, 2 steps forward or 2 steps back, 3 steps forward.
So what would the old June do that the new June doesn't do?
Well, she clacked around in 5-inch heels, that's for sure. And now I run around in spandex and sneakers all day, which I'm like, liberation.
Right. So basically, we haven't mentioned that, but moved away from her prosperous career in fashion and design into being a yoga instructor, yoga teacher.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that part.
Right, that's pretty significant. I mean, that's kind of how we connect.
Yeah. And it was through this experience of Mao and losing him that it brought me to the space, because growing up, I always, you know, struggled with, I want to be of service. I want to do something like social work or I actually majored in sociology in undergrad, thinking that I was going to go and get my master's in social work and ultimately become like a social worker and work in nonprofit. But I always had this creative side to me, and I went to a design and art high school, and I always wanted to pursue fashion design, and I actually had a major in high school as fashion design. And so it was always this push and pull between the creative and like being of service. And I ended up going into a 2-year program with Parsons and ultimately in fashion, which is how I ended up there. And and it was through the process of losing Mao and then being stripped down naked to the barest of the rawest, you know, points of my life and my soul that I realized I wanted to be of service of others and to others. And it was through yoga that I found so much healing and that I wanted to share that. And so now I'm a yoga teacher.
Let's talk a bit about your professional growth.
Yeah.
Did you start doing yoga after the tragedy happened?
So my friend,
in your life, or
my friend introduced me to yoga many years ago, and I just like was like, no, this is awesome. I've been meaning to do this. It's great. And then I did it once, and then I like didn't do it for like, I don't know, months. And it became this like slow thing where I feel like when you're ready for it, when it's for you and the time is right, it'll happen and it'll click. And that's what it kind of happened with me, is I started going eventually more regularly. And initially it was for vanity reasons. Like, I want to get fit for my wedding. Like, I want to look, you know, I want to get that yoga body. And so I started going like once, twice a week.
You should get to a boot camp class to get that body, not to yoga. I'm just
kidding. So I was like, okay, but this is something that, you know, I actually like doing, so I'm going to keep doing it. And so that was my foray or my entrance into yoga before everything had happened. And then during when my late husband was sick, I used that as a form of therapy, because I found that there was this release that was happening, and that I found myself feeling better, more at peace when I was doing yoga. And so I practiced more and more while he was ill. And then when he passed, before he passed, he was on his bed, because we did in-house hospice, or like in, mm-hmm. in our own apartment. And he was in his bed and we were talking, and he just kind of stopped and he looked at me and he like kind of grabbed my forearm and he's like, you know, it's Juju's time now. That's what he would call me. And I would like be like, what? No. I didn't want him to talk like that. I didn't want him to, you know, feel like he was giving up. But he was like, no, like he looked at me. I'm being serious. It's your time now. Like, I want you to live your life and I want you to live it fully. And I took those words, you know, into my heart, and I promised him that I would. And so after he passed, I was like, I can't go back to fashion. I can't do that. You know, that's not living up to my promise. And there's more to this life, and it's so short. So, you know, we can't wait to live. You know, there's no waiting to live life.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we are thinking when we are still young. Oh, you know, once I get 65, then I can connect to God. Then I can think about his big philosophical questions. But then, well, you might not live to 65. And then
sure.
Why to wait till 65 if you can get on this right path of spiritual awakening,
yeah.
And of living fully?
All we have is now, really.
Said,
yeah.
Fully. Why do we need to wait?
Right.
So can we go back a bit? You mentioned that you had that click when you realized, okay, yes, this is my thing. I want to become a yoga instructor, because I feel like that's the moment that a lot of people, and when I say a lot of people, I mean me, are waiting for when they're trying to understand, oh, what's my calling? What's my dream
sure.
job? Like, what did that click? How did it feel?
So
is it in your heart? Is it in your mind? Like, how does
sure.
it,
no,
how
that's
did
a really good question.
That?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So after Mal passed, I, you know, didn't go back to fashion, and I decided I was going to travel the world and seek out different methods of healing, because I wanted to heal and I wanted to make an intention of not running away from the pain, but to face it head on, because I didn't want to wake up 55 one day and realize I never worked through all of that pain and have it manifest, you know, in my life in the wrong ways. And so I decided that I was going to take these solo journeys to face it head on. And so I went to Brazil, and I sought out an energy healer that was famous there. And then from there, I just like a month after I had come back, I went to upstate New York and enrolled in a yoga school to learn to become a certified yoga teacher. 1 month, like in-house,
training.
Like, yeah, training, where we stayed there for a month, and it was all day, every day for like 30 days. And, you know, we ate vegan, and like I only had the intention of doing that as a way to deepen my spiritual practice, because I wanted to learn more about this yoga stuff that I was feeling so good in my classes. So I had absolutely no intention, like zero. My friend at one point said, Juhun, maybe you should become a yoga teacher. I like laughed in her face. I said, me, a yoga teacher? Never. And there I was taking training, and 2 weeks into it, my heart just felt so full. I felt full. You know, when you feel like after eating a meal, you feel so satisfied when you were so hungry before, and you just feel so at peace and like
not guilty for eating carbs.
Yeah, it was like that. It was like goosebumps all over my body when I finally clicked and I said, this is what I want to do. I want to be able to share this knowledge and share this healing method that has brought so much peace and joy into my life to other people. And this is my path of service. I've always wanted to do something with helping people. This could be a way. And I made no expectation like, oh yes, I'm going to become a yoga teacher. I'm going to teach in the city and do. I just said, whatever happens from here, I will follow. And whatever that looks like, all I know is this is the way, and I'm going to take it step by step. So it was just a knowing, and it felt like a joyful knowing, like,
oh my God,
when you feel like,
yeah,
you're on fire,
like,
you know,
God was talking to you that moment.
It felt like the universe was just around me cheering, being like, yeah, you finally got it. You're finally figuring things out now. And that's what it felt like. I felt like I wasn't alone, and that the universe had my back, and I was just so happy. And I just remember thinking, amidst my pain and my grief, like I felt like I was flowing down the river of life, and that kink in that hose that I was talking about earlier finally undid itself, and I was just flowing with myself. And I think it's in the asking. Like, don't stop seeking. If you're out there and you're going through something and you want answers, I would say just trust that if you keep asking to be shown and you remain open, that things will start happening. Like, crazy coincidences will start happening and things will manifest in your life, and you'll meet the right people and right opportunities will show up at its door.
So could you give us a few maybe practical tips or advice on how to manifest the things we want in life, or how to ask? Did you do it through prayer? Did you do it through your morning meditation routine? Like, how do you ask for things when you talk to universe?
I would say that, like,
if you do the journal, like, if you just can maybe describe a few practical ways to manifest.
Sure. When Mao was sick, I did a lot of prayers, which look like in the form of meditation, where you would sit down and empty your thoughts. And just, there's a difference between communicating, where you're more active, where you're maybe seeking and asking, you know, the universe or source for something in your life, whether it be figuring out what to do with your life career wise, but you're asking for something. And then there's a component where you're sitting in stillness and you're receiving and you're listening, because I think we're all really good about talking and like asking and demanding things. But it's in the quieter moments of our lives that I think we all struggle with, especially living in a fast-paced world like New York City. So it's in the slowing down. And it was through yoga that helped me slow down. And it was through yoga that I was able to hone that skill of presence and awareness and mindfulness that got me to a space of receiving and noticing what was happening in my life and paying attention to coincidences and paying attention to the people that would pop up. So I would say, see if you can carve out something in your life that can provide that that slowing down, that quieting of the mind. And it doesn't have to be meditation. It's not always for everyone. Whether it be, you know, Reiki, or whether it be like maybe painting, you know, that's like your spiritual space where you kind of zone out and you find that thing that moves you somewhere deep inside of you that you can connect to, like a higher place. So it could be running. Some people, they get in the zone when they run.
Yeah. I'm going to this Dharmapunks meditations, talks, meditations on Mondays. And our teacher, who is a Buddhist, he's a Buddhist teacher. He tells us to, whichever activity you do that doesn't involve an accomplishment or a sense of goal or a sense of achievement, it's very good for your mind. For keeping it still, like gardening, or when you're playing an instrument without an expectation to become the next rock star, but just because you're really enjoying the process.
Yeah.
Or cooking. So those activities are very, very helpful to keep your mind still.
Yeah, whatever sparks joy in you, you know, whatever makes you feel alive in that moment. And you know what that is. You know, you find yourself in those moments like feeling so alive and in love with life that you gain energy when you do it or you think about it. Really explore that and don't ignore that.
So guys, just to give you a full disclosure, Joanne is a very successful yoga teacher. She's not just, she's serving a lot of people and she's obviously having fun with it, but she's also been able to build quite a successful career out of it, I would say. And Julian is teaching at this beautiful gym, Rise by We, where I go to. Yeah, I'm doing a promo here. It's not paid. And June was able to get me into yoga, which is quite a big achievement. Well, mostly for me and not for June. But with that said, I feel like once you find that golden spot of your calling and you just put all your efforts and your soul in it, you're actually able to make significant changes, not only in your life, but also in other people's lives.
Yeah.
And that was your original intention. You wanted to be of service, and you're now serving so many people
by
turning them into this into their own spiritual practices.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, that's the goal, is to just be a conduit, right? Like, and I have to check myself all the time and remind myself, you know, if I ever get down on myself or I say, oh, I could have done that better, you know, in class or something, that I'm just merely a vehicle. And, you know, and therefore I can't take it for the good or for the bad. You know, I can't take credit when it's good, and I can't blame myself when it's bad, because as long as I remain like a clear conduit for the channel of the teachings, like that's my job. Like, I am no better or evolved or higher than you or anybody else. People are like, oh, you're a yoga teacher, you must be so zen at peace at all the time. I'm like, girl, no, I'm crazy like the rest of you. And that's why I do yoga. So my shit doesn't go all over the place, you know? And so that's my goal, is to take care of myself in a way that I can remain like as a clear channel. And it's not about me, and it's all about the teachings. And if I can share my story to help anyone or inspire anyone, because I realize what I went through is not just for me, and it's not just for Mal. It's a legacy that he's leaving behind. And if I could do that through my teachings or sharing my story, then I'm forever grateful, and I hope to continue on that path.
June, thank you so much for sharing your story. We have about 2-3 minutes left, and since it's a What is Love show, you have to answer the most critical question.
Okay.
What is love to you?
Oh, man.
Come on. You can't do What is Love show.
No, I know. No, for me, love is source. It's the universe. That sounds so vague and so broad, but I believe that love is that untangible or intangible quality that links you and I and the rest of the natural world together. And it's not something sappy that's found in the movies, but it's a real energetic feeling of connection, of unity. And I believe it's the universe, and we're all part of it.
So besides already living your dream of serving others, do you have any other dreams that are hidden in some corners of your soul or heart?
I dream of being part of a hip hop dancing troupe all the time.
Wait, I did not expect that. I almost feel like I need to close the show with some old school hip hop track.
No.
Oh, damn it. I'm not prepared for that. Well, guys, this was June with her beautiful awakening story. And as you understand, June is a real human being. She likes hip hop and she likes to eat baked goodies. Yet she is a highly awakened spiritual person who's been serving to so many other people in New York, and just being showing the light to so many people. It's beautiful. June, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Sasha.
We will celebrate your birthday later today.
Yeah.
With a sound meditation, of course. What else a yoga teacher could throw for
such
her
a
birthday?
Cliche.
Yeah, exactly. Sound meditation. You guys enjoy your Sunday afternoon, and honestly, just quit your fucking jobs and get on this spiritual journey of awakening.
Oh man,
and your life
is that...
will become so much fuller.
Okay, that's not what I meant to say, but okay.